The first reading for All Saints' Day, which serves as the text for our sermon this morning, comes from the Revelation of St. John, the 7th chapter. After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. And they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, "Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, "Who are these clothed in white robes, and from where have they come?" I said to him, "Sir, you know." And he said to me, "These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." This is the word of the Lord. These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. Blessed are those whose strength is in you. The epistle reading comes from the first letter of St. John, the 3rd chapter. "See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. And everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure." And this is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel comes to us according to St. Matthew, the 5th chapter. Seeing the crowds, Jesus went up on the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." This is the gospel of our Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, today is a big day in our church year, because today is All Saints' Day. Today signals that the end of the long Pentecost season is nearly upon us, and we're entering into the last Sundays of the church year. Today we celebrate not just one particular saint like Matthew or Thomas, but instead it is an all-inclusive blanket celebration of all the saints. The paraments are white, the color reserved for high festivals like Easter and Christmas. It is a big day for us, All Saints' Day. Now, mind you, we are not praying to or worshiping all the saints. That would be idolatry. But instead, this is a day when we give thanks to God for all the saints. We praise him for the work that he did through these men and women, and we thank him for the strong faith that he gave to them in their life. God is always the object of our worship and our praise, but today we thank him especially for all the saints. But as we celebrate Let's admit it. We also feel just a tinge of sadness, too. As we give thanks for all these faithful men and women, these mighty saints of faith, we also wonder if we're ever going to see anyone like them again. Will we ever hear another preacher like Peter? Will we ever witness faith like Elisha displayed? Will we ever get the opportunity to meet a real live saint? Just where have all the saints gone? Well, to heaven, of course, because that's where saints go when they die, right? But why don't we see saints walking the streets anymore? Why don't we see someone in our everyday life and say, ah, now that's a saint? Well, actually, we do that sometimes, don't we? We've sort of trivialized what it takes to be a saint. We see someone who puts up with a really obnoxious boss at work and we say, oh, they're such a saint for dealing with him. Someone gives us a loan of a few dollars and we proclaim them to be a saint for helping us out. A bunch of guys run around on a football field and lose and we call them the saints. I mean, is this what we're celebrating here today? Well, obviously, we know that these aren't exactly the saints we've gathered to celebrate today. This is not a liturgical tailgate party before the game. We are here to celebrate those saints sent to us by God. We celebrate the people who gave a bold witness of faith, who stand as an example for all of us, who shine like a beacon of light in this world filled with darkness and sin and evil. In Revelation, the saints in heaven are pictured as people who are brilliant and glowing, shining forth with the glory of God. They shine like the New Jerusalem itself, the radiant bride of Christ. Their lights shine out, unmistakable and bold in that heavenly paradise. The problem here, though, is that our world has made it very difficult to see the saints. Here on earth, the murk of sin has made it very hard to see the light of the real saints. They still shine with the glory of God, but they are also tainted and smothered by the thick cloud of sin that envelops them. When we look around today for saints, we don't see anyone who is pure and holy and saintly. Instead, we see church leaders embroiled in scandal. We see people who claim to be Christian yet live a life of proud sin. We see people of faith who turn their backs on God in times of crisis. They're not perfect like we hope. And we don't see this shining light of holiness, but just more of the darkness, more of that wicked, sinful human nature. And that's not what we think of when we're looking for saints. We don't want someone who's just a slob like one of us. We want a real, live, full-on, holy, genuine saint. We want to see someone with an actual halo over their head, preferably wearing robes to make it look that much more genuine. We want someone who walks around performing miracles, making everything right. We want a soft-spoken, long-suffering do-gooder who puts our petty, sinful lives to shame. We want to see that perfect saint, that person who does everything right and never does wrong. And unfortunately, that's not going to happen. There are no saints like that today. And the truth is, there never were. Despite all the honor that we give them, despite all the pictures of perfection painted about them, despite all of our high hopes and our praise, there have never been any perfectly saintly saints. St. Peter, for all his faith, he denied even knowing who Jesus was because he was afraid of what a servant girl might do. Moses, who spoke face to face with God, he was disobedient, reluctant to serve, lashed out at God on multiple occasions. Mary, the mother of Jesus, the very first Christian, she doubted her son's purpose, wanted him to come home so he didn't embarrass himself or the family. James and John, they weren't exactly the ideal picture of saintly peace as they asked Jesus to send down fire on all the towns who wouldn't listen to their words. Paul, Deborah, David, Samson, Jeremiah, Esther, all of them saints, but all of them with their miserable human flaws. The Bible very clearly shows us that each of these men and women and women, as saintly as they were not perfect. And so as we look for saints, as we decide just who it is we're celebrating today, let's not go by our earthly, made-up, faulty standards. Let's not play spot the halo in order to figure out who we can truly celebrate. Instead, as we look for saints in our lives, let's go to the ultimate authority on sainthood. Let's look to the very Word of God. Because here, in the Scriptures, we have a much more accurate description of who the saints are. As we just heard from John's vision in Revelation, he sees the gathering of all the saints. He says, "After this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands. And they cried out in a loud voice, 'Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb.'" Now at first, John isn't sure who these people are. And so the elder tells him, "These are they who have come out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." These are the saints, the holy ones, the ones who have been washed by the blood of the Lamb, and they are an innumerable multitude from every nation and tribe and people and language. These are the saints, the real saints, all saints. We don't gather today to celebrate just a handful of really, really good people, but rather we celebrate a multitude of saints so large that no one could possibly count it. As we gather today, we celebrate not just one or two believers here and there, but the entire body of believers who have gone on before us. For by the grace of God, each and every one of them is a saint. We celebrate the men and women of old who bore witness of God's grace to others, who proclaimed God's word boldly and truthfully, who let their light shine forth in the gloom of this world. We give thanks to God for all that they did by His power. We rejoice that having done their earthly tasks, they now reside in that heavenly city seen by John. They now experience that perfect, sinless perfection. We give thanks for all of this. But most importantly, we give thanks for the Lamb Himself, who made them saints. We praise Jesus Christ for His death on the cross, for shedding His blood so that the saints could be washed. We rejoice that Christ has forgiven their sins, has made them perfect and holy, and has led the way to heaven by His resurrection. But the saints that we celebrate, they're not just those heroes of old. The saints are not just those people from the Bible, from the early church, or from the time of the Reformation. We celebrate those saints who touched our lives personally as well. We give thanks to God for those Christians who are no longer with us, but who left a permanent impression upon our lives. We remember beloved teachers and pastors who showed us God's truth. We remember departed friends and family who lived lives of faith even in adversity. We remember spouses, parents, loved ones who have passed away in the one true faith. We remember all these saints, and we give thanks that they now dwell in that heavenly city forever. Washed by the blood of the Lamb, their struggle is now over. Their earthly lives have been taken by death, but Christ has raised them to life eternal. They have joined the church triumphant. They are all saints. And yet, there's still more to celebrate. Our festival of All Saints Day includes more than just those who are currently in heaven. Certainly our thoughts are drawn upward as we think of the saints there, but we also celebrate all the saints still here on earth. We celebrate those believers who still struggle, who still persevere against sin and Satan. We celebrate all those saints who are in the church militant, the body of Christ fighting for truth and peace here on earth. We celebrate ourselves. And that might sound egotistical, but as we celebrate all saints, we too are included. As we just sang in that beautiful hymn, "By all your saints in warfare, for all your saints at rest, Your holy name, O Jesus, forevermore be blessed. We are those saints in warfare. We are at war against Satan, against the world, against our own sinful nature. We struggle, we fight, we lose sometimes, we constantly battle. We are continually engaged in warfare, and yet we too are saints. Just as those in heaven wear the robes washed by the blood of the Lamb, so do we. We struggle with sin, but we also know that we are forgiven. Christ's death on the cross, it was not just for some people long, long ago. It was for you. Jesus Christ died for you. He took all of your sin upon himself. He suffered, died, and was buried to remove your transgression. And because he did so, you now are a saint. By grace, through faith, you are clothed in his robe of righteousness. You are a saint. You don't have a visible halo. You haven't stopped sinning. But in the eyes of God, you are now perfectly innocent. You have been declared holy, righteous, and sinless. Jesus Christ died for you. He paid your eternal penalty in full. And because of that, you are a saint, a holy one. And just as Jesus rose, just as all the saints before you have gathered in that heavenly city, you shall rise to eternal life as well. Heaven is yours because you have been washed by the blood of the Lamb. And so as we celebrate All Saints' Day, what better way than by partaking of the Lord's Supper? How could we celebrate better than to gather with all the saints at that heavenly feast and be joined together by the body and blood of Jesus Christ? Not just those who are sitting here in this building today, but all the saints. As we come to this altar, we are joined by those who have gone before us in heaven. We commune not just with one another, but with all of our loved ones all around the world, all who now live eternally in heaven. We proclaim that communion is not just us, but that it is with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven. And our dearly departed in the faith, they are that company of heaven, that multitude of saints for whom we give thanks and with whom we commune. Their legacy of faith is not forgotten, and their presence has not been removed from us. They are with us, as we are all the bride of Christ. We may not see them now, but soon, by the grace of God, we know that that reunion will be complete. We too are saints, washed by the blood of the Lamb, and we too will rise from the grave to life everlasting. As we commemorate the faithful departed today, it's not just to cast our minds back and remember the good times that we had with them. We also look forward to the joyous times, the perfect times, the eternal times that we will have with them again in that perfect paradise that Christ has prepared for us. And so as we celebrate All Saints' Day, we need not ask where all the saints have gone. They're right here and throughout the world and throughout all of history. God's faithful, those who have been washed by the blood of the Lamb, we are the saints. Not because we've lived such great lives, but because Jesus looked on us in mercy, gave his life on our behalf, and rose again to give us his very robe of righteousness. And for all the saints, we give thanks to God, and we look forward in both anticipation and certainty to that joyful reunion in heaven. Because just like the saints of old, just like our dearly departed in the Christian faith, we know the gospel truth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That by his cross alone, by his empty tomb alone, you are forgiven of every one of your sins, and eternal life in heaven is yours. Thanks be to God. Amen.